Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
It is time for summer memories, although the summer is almost over. And today I'm joined by comedian and good pal of mine, Dara O'Brien. Hello, Dara.
Hello, you.
Hello, you. Yeah,
honestly, you're really pulling the string here, you know that?
I know. You see, like, listen, if you can't contact your friends when you're standing in for Andrea, like, what's the point in being friends with you?
And I'm doing it from 8th to 8th as well, which is just...
Mates Rates is a coffee and dinner next time you're over, which we'll talk about. Okay, summer memories. So your first summer memory, Dara, take us back.
Here's the thing. Do people actually remember their childhood? I can't remember my childhood.
Yes.
Really? Like evocatively, as in like emotions. Oh, I was happy when, you know, sad when my ice cream fell. You know, I remember that. Like, I remember a series of facts. There are photographs. I existed. I got to this age. There's a bit of a gap, but a very little, you know, I'd have to, I can peg basically. Did you do peg where she basically skirted through the first 60 years of her life? I'd have to make up the conversations and invent the whole thing because I cannot remember much of anything.
Of yours? Okay, well maybe this...
The little kid ones, like whatever. Like I know we went to England a few times. I know we did New Spain, France. The main thing I remember actually somewhere was within the holidays is that our house got turned into a bed and breakfast, which was the thing in Bray at the time, that a lot of houses, because we'd still get people coming in and holidaymakers who'd want to stay in what they felt was an authentic experience sitting in a suburban house in Bray.
You don't really have the memories then, because your summer memories were everybody else's summer holidays.
Yeah, exactly. And actually having to get out of my room and the room being turned into a hotel room in massive quotation marks, and then having to sleep on a fold out bed in a different, like in an attic or in a thing for the summer, like in another room somewhere, and the house being boxed off, the places where the visitors were, that's what we used to call them euphemistically, the visitors were, they're paying money, and even like it was like if we went past the window of the room where they were having the breakfast, you have to duck down because for some reason you couldn't be seen. They would spoil the magical illusion we created in this like small suburban house in Dublin, like in Bray, and if they came when we were full, we had other people that we would direct them to the little network, and we pass them on to our friends or whatever it's going on. And people wanted to pay £6 a night or whatever the hell it was back in the day.
So there are many people out there who have slept in Dara O'Brien's bed. They don't even know.
They have no idea. They have no idea that they shared some of their happiest memories. We're sitting in a house that had no television or access to television, and just sitting in a rainy day in Bray indoors. And they had no idea because I hadn't put up the plaque at that stage. I hadn't, you know, the house by the way there is absolutely been decimated. I used to drag the kids on to see it for years. This is where I grew up, like, and they'd go, right.
Okay.
And now it's been flattened. It's gone. It's absolutely gone.
Okay. So that your first summer memory being kicked out of your bed and your parents selling your room to others.
Essentially, for cash. Yeah, absolutely. I say for cash. I mean, what's the statute of limitations of these things? So that was it. And there were holidays, you know, that this paid for, I suppose. But it's like, but I don't have that thing. It was almost like my life kicked off, you know, when I started making choices about 16 or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's really evocative.
But I think that we could delve really deeply into this. This is because of your sciencey brain. Whereas I can remember all of my childhood, the memories, I can even remember some of the smells from the place I went to because I do not have a sciencey maths brain. So I would
It's not like the sciencey maths brain gives you no joy. I mean, it makes it sound awful. There are plenty of scientists who remember their childhood. But I just remember, I remember things and friendships, and I remember a donkey in Connemara with his poking his head over a fence. You know.
Are you sure that wasn't just a postcard?
Yeah, it does. See, it all sounds very false memory, doesn't it?
It does.
It all sounds John Hind, like the whole thing. Yeah, we're all red-haired and we all used to gather turf every summer. Is that not what that used to happen?
That's not what happened.
I was grown in a lab. I didn't realise that. I was grown in a lab and then I was implanted like Blade Runner or something. No, it just, so they were. So my first summer memories are more the fact that the summer was spent kind of hoovering and making beds and yeah. then disappearing, basically.
Disappearing, yes. So they wouldn't see it.
Yeah, because this is supposed to be a hotel, apparently. And you're going, really, it's clearly a house.
Okay.
It's just a house that happens to do this. Like, yeah, so.
Right, well, yeah. The next one, then, you should be able to remember this. Your best summer holiday ever.
Oh, yeah, I can't really either. I'll tell you the first one, then, which I sort of went... the one that really made the box to me, when I was 17, I watched Clive James in Paris. Clive James used to do these one-hour documentaries where he'd go to various different places. Did Rio, where I remember once, and did a really lovely one in Paris, really beautiful. And I went, oh, I want to go there. And I spent the summer working in various rubbish. This is when I was 17, so a year before the Leaving Cert, working in various crummy jobs. As a lounge boy, I've had to try to explain what that was to my own children. It was a lounge boy was the term, wasn't it? Yeah. The very first time, because they give you your float and then you pay for the drinks with your float. They give you the change and you walk the change over to the table. Do you remember that?
Down to that system.
Yeah. And then I did the very first time, and the float was in my hand. I had handed the drink, gin and tonic or something. And when I tilted the thing to put the drink in, the changes fell into the drink. And that's the very first time. So they go, oh, sorry. And had to go back and fish the change out and get that done again. But I did some of that in order to get, and then I went backpacking around Paris.
Okay.
Mainly because it was difficult to get a length of stay, and I just basically went to Paris and found hostels and just jumped from hostel to hostel, depending on how many nights they could give me. So we just kept jumping around, and a couple of mates came over at one stage. But for the first 7 days or so, I was literally just walking Paris on my own.
On your own.
Yeah, and I saw every inch of the city.
Can you imagine?
Bought a baguette on Rue Mouffetard, and then walked the Marais. And to this day, I feel I know the whole city backwards from having gone every inch of it.
You would know backwards, and I think now you probably did that without an iPhone.
I had a Walkman. So there was an album. There was a album called Cold Cut.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the first ever Yaz track. Not the only way up, the one she did before that, People Hold On. So I just listened to the same three or four albums. I'd the Batman soundtrack. I listened to that backwards, and which is not an album that really merits that, to be honest. But it's not a classic. I may have brought Sign of the Times as well, but I walked listening to the same four or five albums because I only had enough budget to just really keep myself ticking over.
That was it. Eat and go.
Totally. Yeah. And then gave my final money to a busker on the train to Charles de Gaulle. Like an idiot. Didn't hold on to any money. Just went to the airport going, this will be fine. As it turns out, it was. But it was like...
Very sweet of you. Very sweet of you. So the next question on this is, did you ever go to the Gaeltacht? But you're a fluent Irish speaker, am I right?
Yeah. We never got the Gaeltacht. So we... So I went to the Gaeltacht at various stages. I've been to the Gaeltacht many times. That specifically means on one of those camps where you learn to shift people.
No,
I didn't do that. I never got to do that. So I didn't learn to shift people until much later. It's amazing how much it's underplayed, the importance of the Gaeltacht in the romantic and sexual development of Irish people. That if you didn't get to go to the Gaeltacht, you didn't have that situation. Because we're obviously I'm not naturally Lothario, like whatever. I don't think it's not your thing, right? This guy. I've caught up. But certainly, that thing of going at 14 and bottles being spun or whatever was the mechanism, the external mechanism that forced you to kiss somebody. never got any of that. And would hear stories of things happened in the Gaeltacht, and you go, and really, because it didn't happen in Bray.
Yeah.
Those things weren't happening in Bray to me because I wasn't in the Gaeltacht. So no, I had Gaeltacht envy.
Yeah.
All I had was the Irish language, which I could actually speak more fluently than anyone at the Gaeltacht. But that was no use. That was an empty victory to her going, I did not need to know to the Gaeltacht because we went to an Irish language school. That's why I went but be able to go, I had no need to go to the Gaeltacht, to somebody who's like, who returns like with a cigarette and a mustache and a girlfriend. Oh, I think I'm
five girlfriends.
I'm doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I think I've done better than you out of this deal.
I didn't get to go either.
I had
booked in. My folks had booked me in. I was going to Donegal. I was all excited. And about 2 or 3 days before I was due to go, my mother says, "Now, Mairead, we've got a great deal to Mallorca. So you're not going up there. You need a bit of sun." So
that everything about that sounds perfect. Why? But
so I ended up in Mallorca while all my mates went to the Gaeltacht. So I didn't get to go either.
Okay, I'm finding it hard to have too much sympathy for you, Mallorca. I never got to go do the Spanish holiday when I was a kid. So you know, did you not have a holiday romance there? Did you not?
No, on that one, no, I didn't. I didn't have a holiday romance.
With your parents.
Late bloomer, Dara. Very late bloomer when it came to the romances.
You know, when you come at it late, you come at it hungry.
You too. Hungry. Actually, speaking of, did you ever have a holiday romance?
I honestly can't remember one. I can't, you know, I think most of my holiday romances were in Reynards. And they were like a holiday, weren't they? They were sending a holiday for them, a little break from their normal routine, and step into my world for an evening. But there was nothing that quite fulfilled the criteria of being away. And nowadays, very difficult to organise one. Because my wife she's right there.
She's there with you on holidays. You can't have a holiday romance.
It's very difficult to establish a bond with the waitress when your wife is going, "What's going on here?" And you're going, no. Margarita was just telling us that she only works here for the summer because her family are in a different part of the Algarve. It's very difficult to do that.
I'm going to have to pause it there for a quick break, but stay with us, Dara. That's Dara O'Brien giving us his summer memories. We'll be right back after these. Now, Dara has been talking us through his best summer memories. And Dara, you were just saying how your wife really got in the way of your holiday romances. So speaking of that, who is your favourite person to go on holidays with?
Well, obviously her, right? But that's luckily because I'm very much obliged to. And she's really handy with the other three I'm obliged to take as well. So so that's very, very good. I was very bad. I'm quite embracing the fact that I'm socially quite inept. And I'm blaming the absence of Gaeltacht here. I'm very bad at asking people to go on holiday, ask people to travel. I can't take rejection.
So you wouldn't have suggested to a bunch of mates before you were married?
Yeah,
anyone fancy taking a trip to Spain?
Yeah, to wherever, like whatever, because I would go, no. And I go, oh, I'll never talk to you again. That was so awful. So I'm very bad at that. Ed and his folks, we've gone away a few times.
Ed Byrne.
Yeah. So that feels like safe ground. So it's grand. I've done that. It's my Cribs problem, right?
Okay.
You remember the show Cribs, MTV Cribs?
Yes.
That's a really bang up to date reference. But you go around various rappers' houses and they go, "Oh, this is where we built the basketball court. So we play basketball here all the time. And here is the music
pool.
Room.
Here's the pool."
And then there's the pool, you can just swim on your own. Like, that's grand. I mean, your mates are getting your way. Excuse me, I'm doing laps here. But those massive sofa and we could fit 16 people around the sofa and we all watch a giant screen or whatever, it's grand. I know I'd just be sitting throwing the ball at the hoop and it going dunk, dunk, dunk. Because I'd be going, "Does anyone want to come around to my house and play basketball?" "No, I don't think you want to come around to your house and play basketball. That seems really weird. Why would we do that?" I've always found this thing going, who am I going to fill this house with? Who's going to come and sit in my house? You know, very bad at doing that. Okay. And people do actually, I think it is possible to do this, but I just feel so on the, having parties, I'm very bad at hosting parties.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, "Hey, do you want to come out? We're thinking of having a party. I'm working that week." Well, you're dead to me.
We're getting a real picture of you. This is not about summer holidays. This is Dara really suffers with rejection. Yeah.
I don't do rejection well. Whereas I like my own company.
Which is good then, because if you are rejected, you're very happy on your own.
I like me. So I very rarely turn me down. "Do you want to play a game of basketball?" "I will have a game of basketball." "Why don't we go out and play a game of basketball?" And me and me will go out and play a game of basketball and it's great. I don't need anyone else. I don't need a posse or a guy. So no, who do I like? I like going on holiday with my family.
Your family. Okay, so your wife and your three children, they're your favourite people to go on holidays with. I know you guys took an amazing trip. You went to the Olympics, didn't you?
Oh, we did. Totally forgot that. That was the one.
that That was an amazing holiday you took with your family.
It was an amazing trip to it. Yeah, we did. Because I really nerded it out on the website and got tickets for everything I could. And it was all booked a year in advance. I'm a great believer in anticipation. I'm a great believer in working the anticipation because time goes faster and faster as you get older, right?
Yes, it does.
Shoots along. It's gone. And so my counteract to that is, because I'm not the travel agent in the house. I book the things, right?
Okay.
Whether or not I choose the things is another thing, but I'm certainly the one who is contacting airlines and doing all this and getting seats and doing it. I am the concierge.
Okay.
For the family, right? It's got, yeah. So I know what the trips are, like whatever. And I've been trying to get the kids to, and I make sure there's guidebooks and say, pick three things that you want to go on when we go to wherever we're going. You have a look at this. And if for no other reason, at least it's in their head and they're kind of getting a bit of, I can't wait to get over there. Like,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of doing that, of working out stuff in advance.
Right.
The probably because of the job also involves a lot of travel and you're in and you're out in a day and you're kind
you
of...
You don't get to see anything. So yeah, that makes sense.
No. I mean, look, I generally try, if I'm going to a new place, I generally try to go the day before. Nominally, it's to get a sense of the city so that when I walk out on stage, I can go, this is funny that you do this here.
Yes.
And I'll have some idea and they'll all go, ha ha ha, you're absolutely right. You know so well. But I remember getting a call from my wife once ago and she said, how's the gigs going? I said, it was lovely. It was mainly a concerto, but they played a load of different kind of classical music. She said, what? You're not working today? I said, no, I'm working tomorrow. And she said, I don't remember agreeing to that.
I don't remember agreeing to you getting mini holidays while you're supposed to be working.
Mini holiday where you go off and you walk around Vienna. That was specifically Vienna. And I go, no. You know I go so I can get a sense of the city. So the gig is better. It's very much a case of the gig is really the same, to be honest. You could have found it in the afternoon.
With Google or ChatGPT. But anyway, if you won the lotto, Dara, where is your dream holiday destination?
It would be somewhere on an island with diving.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a diver?
I'm a diver, yeah.
What?
I had to stop for about 15 years because, you know, kids and all that.
Yeah.
But I did, 20s was all diving holidays, a number of liverboard boats, a number of diving things, yeah. And then...
You mean like the paddy course? Like the...
The whole thing, yeah. That whole thing, yeah.
Really?
As Kurt Vonnegut once said, in the water I am beautiful. I absolutely. I got about 100 log dives, and I've done them all types, nights and wrecks, and you know, off the side of boats, and you know, into big swells and with sharks and all sorts of things. Yeah, I did lots of it in my 20s, and then kids arrived, and that's the end of that.
Okay.
And then one of the kids did for the first time for a holiday, and one of them wanted to do it, and so we got a chance to do it again. And did the course. It's really fun if you go back and do the course. You have to do a kind of a refresher course.
Yeah, of course.
And so you go into it's kind of grey looking pool in Putney or somewhere like that. And there's myself and Mrs. who've all both done this for years. And they kind of put the things on. You're ready to put them on. And on the other side of the pool, there's all the new people doing it.
Yeah.
Right? And so you dive in and they check that you remember all to this. And they say, okay, we're going to go down. And you get back into it. It's like riding a bike. So you're just hovering like rock steady at 4 meters or 5 or 10 meters or whatever the depth of the pool is, right? Yeah, just there. And then your man is making sure you can do that. Meanwhile, the class is yo-yoing up and down all around you. Like, and you can see them going, whoa, and they're up and down, like whatever. And you're just working around. And it's really fun because they're like, oh my God, and they're back down, they touch the ground, and they're up, and they're up again. And then they shoot up to the top again. And you're just watching this mad circus of people who cannot do it. And you're just floating steadily at the bottom.
I've done two, and they were only 12 meters. And I was terrified, absolutely terrified. Husband is into it. He's done that paddy course and a couple of other dives. But I didn't sleep the night before. I was like, this is it. I'm going to die tomorrow. And we went out at 5 a.m. And I was just, the whole experience, while it was beautiful when I was there, I was so glad for myself and my flippers to get back on land again.
Very Irish not to be into it.
Yeah.
Very Irish.
Very Irish, yes. Yeah. I'm very Irish.
We're not, I mean, I had a guy in Cairns, in Australia at the end of it, because I did that's what we did on the Great Barrier Reef, I thought. I had a couple of days between a couple of festivals, between the Adelaide Festival and Melbourne Festival, and I thought, you know what, why don't I go up and learn to dive? And I did the course, and the guy at the end said to me, the Irish are the worst, he said. The worst. It's a really nice guy. Dave said, you can't teach you guys to dive at all. And there were three nurses on the course as well. One of them bailed in the pool. Nope. One of them bailed while we're out on the boat and went, nope. And then the third got through it. So that's our strike rate.
Okay.
33% of Irish nurses learn to dive. And I told that on stage at the Kilkenny Festival. They were from Kilkenny. And this woman came up and said, that's my sister you're talking about. And actually she went back later and did the diving course. So you may change your show.
Yeah. So just just edit that, okay?
Yeah,
edit
so you can change that now. She went back and did it like, yeah. So there, so, yeah. And right. Then turned on her heel and walked off.
Well, there you go. So. I never knew that about you. Right.
I love it. Absolutely. I'd be big into it. Okay. And all the stuff. I mean, don't have the kit anymore because, you know, it's all 15 years old. Like,
you'd have to get a new kit. Alrighty. Top three items that you cannot holiday without.
Oh, well, see, I cannot holiday without four items, which would be my wife and children.
Yes.
So if I have to leave one of them at any given time. Oh, some of their items are right. Was that ever one of those things? I tried to explain to my children weird Irish things that are insults. Oh, she's a consequence. That kind of stuff. That
they're like, I don't get it. What do you mean?
What does that mean? Said, she's an item. She's a weapon. because there's a movie out at the moment called Weapons about these kids being abducted. And it's just these kids running through the street with the word weapons. And that just happens to my mother going, they're bloody weapons, those children. Anyway. The three items, probably a book and therefore glasses. And then also earplugs.
Earplugs?
For swimming.
Oh, okay. Because so the diver needs earplugs.
Yeah, no. Only weirdly in pools where people, it doesn't matter in seawater, it's never happened in seawater, but in pools where you're in a hotel or a villa or whatever, I have a tendency, my ears block up.
Okay.
And we only ever found one doctor. He was called Dr. Ireland, and he was in the south of France. And you go to Dr. Ireland, and we had to do two holidays in a row, and Dr. Ireland would go, yeah, no worries, and shove a thing, like a hose in your ear, and blow it out. And then he'd show it to you. That was what it was. Like, it makes sound like he's like this really dodgy backstreet doctor, but he'd go, yeah, it happens a lot here. And he'd just take it, he had a pipe just ready to go, like, and he'd just go, thump. And then suddenly you could hear everything. It was like you could hear frequencies you hadn't heard in years.
Okay, so.
And then you come home, normal GPs don't allow you to do that. Don't know if you've ever had a blocked up ear because of stuff. They're all like, oh no, do 2 weeks of olive oil. I want to see what happens then. And you're going, no, I just want the guy with the hose.
Go, blast my ear there.
Blast my ear and show me the thing. And they're going, no, we don't do that.
Lovely, okay. Earplugs,
Dr. Ireland in the south of France.
Dr. Ireland, okay. And favourite summer holiday song and what it reminds you of?
Oh, God, Jesus. The only one I could think of as being really having a sense of place was Groove Rider.
Yeah.
And either Groove Rider or the one that went, Lady, na, 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 na. They came out at the same time. Right. 1998, first Edinburgh Festival.
Okay.
And for some reason, that was a kind of a theme of our Edinburgh Festival. Myself and Deirdre Kane living in a flat together in Edinburgh doing our first Edinburgh Festivals.
Oh.
That's not a great choice for summer holiday.
Was it a holiday romance between yourself and Dee?
There really wasn't. There is. That's funny, the notion of the it was. Although she would ask me to report back on my attempts to have holiday romances, which is very kind of her. Yeah, how'd that go with the girl in the box office? No, well, okay.
There's always somebody else tomorrow.
You can try again now. It's a big festival. But that song kind of ran through the festival that summer, and it was a thing, like whatever. Because I don't have my holidays don't involve me standing in a pool waist deep with a cocktail in my hand, which is a thing people do.
They do, yeah. Yeah.
They do that. And I've occasionally gone to the pool with a towel and my trunks and realised, oh no, it's one of the pools for people to stand in. And you can't really go, sorry, do you mind, I want to just do a few laps there? No, that'd be all right. Like, to be the one person who doggedly did the laps in the cocktail pool would be a thing.
Well, listen, Darragh, thanks for that. I've learned so much more about you.
Things you didn't know.
The holidays aren't just over yet. You're off on another little sort of kind of a holiday in Ireland today. Electric Picnic.
Is that a holiday? No, I'm working. Yeah, it's grand. You know, I'm gigging. I'm gigging Electric Picnic tomorrow. But I've never been Stradbally. I've never been Electric Picnic, and I am throwing myself at the mercy of the crowds in terms of apparently it's lovely.
Oh my god, brilliant!
I'm not a the big one in England, Glasgow. I'm not a big. I tend to have memories of trudging through things to stand and listen to a band waiting for the one song I know. And so I'm hoping it's more positive than that. Like whatever. But there's loads of people down I know.
Okay.
So. That's
well,
nice.
That'll be good. I won't be there because I'm not allowed to go because my Dara, who's 18 now, won't let me go because it's his first electric picnic. So I am not allowed. Mum, don't go to electric picnic.
No,
it's my first
don't.
One. So I'll send my Dara along to see you, Dara, tomorrow. Then anybody else who wants to see Dara and is not going to electric picnic, you can see Dara in January. You're back. I'm going to say you're back home. In January.
Yeah, I'm happy to have that as a characterization. Absolutely.
Yes, you're back home. So you're in Galway on January 8th, 9th and 10th. And then you're back in your home of Vicar Street, 15th, 16th and 17th. And I will see you then.
You will indeed. And look, if you're at electric picnic and you see me dancing to Fat Boy Slim, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'm in a happy place.
Yeah. Don't take videos. Don't put them up on TikTok.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. Jesus.
Leave them alone. Dara Breen, thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.